Second Chronicles chapter 20. Praise your way into a new year. Praise your way into a new day. Praise your way into a new week. Praise your way into a new month. Now, this is a very classic passage on praise and worship. It says in the New Testament that all these things that happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament happened to them for our example, for example for us and to us. We're all going to have some problems this new year. We had a problem last year, and I list some 9 things that help us get through these problems. Whenever I was putting this together, I didn't have a kidney stone that I knew of. So this is real to me this morning. So we will read this. This whole chapter is about how that we may have victory in the time of our problems, no matter what type of problem that we're having. Now, in this, the history of this and the background, I better tell you before I forget about the history of it. Nation of Israel been in the Canaan land for several years. You know, there was 3 kings that came to them on their march to the Canaan land. And you know, they sent messengers to the Israelites with old molded bread, act like they come from a long ways off, and they made a treaty with them. And the Lord didn't let them go to war with them because they'd already made a treaty with them. Well, these 3 kings has come back to haunt them and to attack them. The nation of Israel, I said, been there enjoying God's blessings in the promised land for many years. But you know, in the promised land, they still are battles. Now, for you and I today, for this example for us, you see, Canaan land is not our heaven. Canaan land is our victory in Jesus Christ. And you see, we get to heaven, we won't have no more battles. So Canaan land is not our heaven. Canaan land is our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jehovah God has given the nation Israel this Canaan land. They marched in. You see, they didn't even have to fight to take Jericho. They marched around it 7 times, done what the Lord said, and, you know, the walls of Jericho fell down. All they had to do was listen to the Lord. And God says, I'm going to give you houses that you did not build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you did not plant. You can sit under the fig trees and gather figs that you did not plant. And they have enjoyed all this. But yet they were still battles in Canaan land. Now here Jehoshaphat was the king now many years later, and he was a good king, and he led a revival in the nation of Israel. You know, they'd go down and back up, kind of like we do. You know, we fall away, we get hot, and get a revival for ourselves, our church, and we fall away and our family come back. So they had a great revival under Jehoshaphat, and under him, he was a very good king. But you see, after, you know, you have revivals, then there always comes problems. Well, there was problems was in the Canaan land, nation of Israel, because of these bad kings come against the nation of Israel. And to you and I, we've been saved. And those of us have been saved. I hope everybody's been saved. If you haven't been saved, you can be saved today. But your problems are not over with when you get saved. Y'all know that? That comes to the lost, and that comes to the saved. But Jesus Christ has given you victory. He's given you land. He's given you this victory in the Lord, but they still battles. Now see, these kings come against Jehoshaphat, and they come to take that land, and they take their houses and take everything back from them. Well, after you saved, you understand that you see that you ain't Christ Jesus, but there's a battle coming. There's some bad kings that comes against us and want to take back what Christ has given us. You're free to serve Jesus. But there's still battle that wants to take it back and put you back under bondage again. And old Jehoshaphat, these 9 things that he did is the same 9 things that you need to do and I need to do, because Satan intends to take back from you what Christ gave you, and he cannot. We have 3 bad kings. We have the fallen flesh. We call this old flesh here the falling nature that we have. We have this old world without God in it, our society that we're living in today, and then we have old Satan. The same three want to take back what Jesus Christ has given you. Now, have you enjoyed serving the Lord since you've been saved? Say amen. Well, the devil don't want you to have that joy, don't want you to serve Jesus Christ, and these three enemies is after us. And a lot of times that we'll just have problems because of who we are, because we're living in a fallen world, and we have these problems. But as we see Jehoshaphat, wise king. And it says there now in chapter 20, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some and told him that they're coming against you by the thousands. All three of these kings has gathered their war, their battle against you by the thousands. They come against you. They come against Israel now. And let us pray, because old Jehoshaphat did. Father, thank you, Lord. This day we're entering into a new year. Father, we just thank you for the blessings on the past year. Father, we know, God, that you're going to be with us. The promises that the devil cannot take away from us. Lord, we just know we're going to have battles, but Father, we're going to fight from victory, not for victory. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I said, it don't mean that you're never going to have problems, but when you do have problems, it don't mean that the Lord has forsaken you. I wish you would have been here Wednesday night. Was y'all all here Wednesday night? Well, we talked about problems. When the Lord opens up the windows to bless you, the devil will open up the doors to blast you. And don't think he's not wise at what he's doing. When trouble comes, they will draw you closer to him if we just learn to praise. If you don't believe it, you have a kidney stone. You say, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Will you not? Once you have pain, you will call on the Lord when you have pain. Well, trouble comes sometimes, and it draws us closer to him when we learn to praise unto victory. King said, in these verses, in the last chapter 19, before we get into this chapter, in the last verse, he said, deal courageously. The Lord shall be with the good. He shall be with us. That's a promise. Pleasant Hill, if you want victory, God didn't call us to fail. God didn't call us to fail, but to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus says, always to triumph, not sometime, but always in Jesus Christ. Now, we're looking for a good year this year because of Jesus Christ, no matter what brings, for our persons, for our family, for our church, for our nation, if we learn how to praise. It's an example for us to have this victory, even though in problems. The reason for this triumph, Jehoshaphat, and for you and I, in these verses 1 and 2, he starts off. If we want victory in our problems in this new year, there's 9 things that he did to bring that nation into victory in himself personally. And I tell you, when these kings come against him, he said he will have victory over them. And to start with, it was, you see, that he encountered a problem. Well, now, that's not very hard for us to do, is it? They come and told him the kings are there across the water. There's coming after him. Across Jordan River, they're coming after him. I mean, it's not hard for us to understand we have problems. I mean, they come to you about every day, some kind or another. King Jehoshaphat, the problem. He didn't know the problem that he was having right then. It is said going to be the example for many people in the future. What happened to him is exactly what we need to understand today. It helps us stay and many others throughout the year for you and I to help others. Now, as I said, Israel was in the Canaan land, but they still had enemies. And we understand that we have enemies, although we in Christ Jesus. The battle of victory. Problems is a blessing in disguise. You could say, boy, he really disguised this one, didn't he? James says, chapter 1, my brother, count it all joy when you have a kidney stone. Well, that's hard to do. Count it all joy when you fall into many types of temptations, trials, and errors. Knowing this, that the trials of your patient of faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, we're going to go through some trials and tribulations. And I tell you, we got some people, had some people in our church and our families going through the excruciating problems. Now they are going through some problems. And God, he allows sometimes these problems to come to us, not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to build us. As I said, these three wicked kings coming to us all the time. And one of those are sin, sorrow, and death that's coming all the time. We all face these problems all the time of these old wicked kings that wants to keep us down in every way. Jehoshaphat was a great king, and he led the nation of Israel in a great time. Saved or lost, though, I'm going to tell you, we all encounter problems. The first thing he found out, now, he encountered a problem. Now, we're going to have problems, you understand? Some of us, a lot of us, many of us today, if I told you to raise your hand today, you're having problems today of some kind or another. And then since he had a problem, and we have a problem, and I go through this, he established a purpose for this problem. What's going to happen? In verse 3 and 4 in that same chapter of 2 Chronicles 20, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together as help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, the first thing when you had a problem, you know what he done? He sought the Lord. Lord, where are you? He went to seek the Lord. So you have a problem, he established a purpose. Now, what is our purpose? To seek the Lord. Why? Because he grows us in our problem. I ought to be 6 foot tall right now with my kidney stone. He grows you in problems. That's his intentions. Jehoshaphat feared not the enemy, but the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord, fasted, and all Jew together. You know what they done? They sought the Lord. You know what he done? He went to church. He went to church even on Wednesday. You know that? Even on Wednesday to seek the Lord. And you know, and out of all the cities of Judah they came. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing? Do you know that our country is in a mess? I'm telling you, our country is going down faster than I realize it ever could go down. What would happen? You know we got a problem. What if our leaders of Jehoshaphat, knowing that we got a problem, the first thing he'd understand to do was establish a purpose for that problem, and that purpose was to seek the Lord. Now, you too. People go through problems in their family and their health and just on and on and on and on. What's the first thing we do? We try to do everything we can but seek the Lord. He sought the Lord first. That was the first thing that he done. He come to church. And he got the people together. And out of all the cities, they came with him. Wednesday night was filled up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school was filled up out of the cities. What would happen today if our country done this? But look at television today out of every city. You see demonstrations, looting, burning, killing, stealing. That's what's coming out of our cities today. Why? Because of the problem. No leadership to lead us to the Lord. They're not seeking God in this country. The problem in the United States with families, they're not seeking God. Where's people with all their families today in the house of God, the first day of the year? This church should be filled up with family members. Where's all the families at today? Persons, where's the people at? On Wednesdays and Sundays. We're not seeking the Lord in our country. We got a problem in your family. We got a problem in our churches. We got a problem in our individual lives. We're not seeking God. Jehoshaphat encountered a problem. We all got them, and we're going to have more of them. But you see, we're not seeking the Lord. We have not established a purpose and sought the Lord as we should. Kings, that was his first thought, to seek the Lord, not his last thought. Now, we'll try everything we can. And then if that don't work, then I'll seek the Lord. Matthew 6 and 33 is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, man, but I got to work. I got to make a living. No, you need to make a life. It's not work first. It's Jesus first. Oh, but I got to try everything I can. We try everything else. People has no time for God. They're not seeking God. They're going to have problems, but they're not seeking God. These people, they sought God. Everything we do. You know, it's funny to me, you know, everything we have to do it on the weekend. If we're going to cut anything off, it's going to be worship. It's going to be Sunday. Anytime we got to leave, do anything, it's going to be on Sunday. It takes us away from the Lord. Especially these people that's retired. I don't know how many people retired, but there's people retired. They're going to go see somebody that's retired, and they always leave on Sunday. I never figured that out. They can do just as good on Monday, but we're going to go on Sunday. We're going to get out of God's house, and we're not going to seek the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But if you want help, you better seek the Lord. Now, you're going to try everything else, but you better seek the Lord. Now, a lot of people, you know what? They've tried all this other stuff, and now they're going to seek the Lord. So, you know, he finds out to start with, he's got a problem. And then, you know what? He established a purpose for this problem, and that is to seek the Lord. Why did God allow us to have these problems, to seek him? That's the reason God allowed to have those problems. When you do the most growing, when everything's fine and dandy, or you start having some problems you don't know what to do with. When do you grow the most? When is God the nearest to you and the dearest to you? Times of trouble when you're seeking the Lord. David says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You enlarge your boundaries with God, have this stress to come. First of all, you know he had problems. Second thing, you know what? What he had to do? Establish a purpose for this problem. Seek the Lord through the thorn of grace. And then you know what? He had to examine his past. Now here I have a problem. Now how am I going to get through this problem? Well, my family's having a problem. I'm having a problem. We're having a problem. How are we going to get through this problem? Well, he started to examine his past. What have God done for you in the past? You're going through a problem, or when you start into a problem, no matter what it is, then you know what? He said, I got to examine the past. Now what has God done for me in the past? It says there in verse 5 on down, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. He went to church of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Ain't that amazing? That's right out of the Word of God. Would you believe that? Right out of the Word of God. Before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kings of all the heathens, everybody? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants this land before the people of Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Now, God, listen, I've got to, you know, review my past. Now, I'm going through this problem. And to start with, we go through some problems. And you know what? To start with, you go right down this line as old Jehoshaphat did. And you say, now, how did God bring me through that last problem? When I didn't think I could make it. I didn't have nowhere else to turn to. I didn't know what was going to happen. And you look back, and I look back, and Jehoshaphat looked back, and he said, well, man, you know what God done? He brought those people through the land of the wilderness into the Canaan land. He fought for them, and he gave this land to the nation of Israel. Now, you go back, and you look in your life, and you look what God's done for your life. You having this problem now, you know what? God's been with you all the time. Has he failed you in the past? Has he been with you all the time? Even whenever you didn't know how in the world he's going to do it, when your hands were tied, there was no hope, there's no way, and yet God brought you out of it. So you know what? He examined his past. God's been with us. You know what? As we look at this nation, we know what God will do if we would just turn to God. God's been with this nation. We got a problem in this nation. So what in the world can we do about it? Well, we can examine our past. God would be with us. He's always been with us. This nation has been through some tough times. World War I and II and several other wars. The Korea conflict. Vietnam, the Persian War. The Gulf War. Many other wars and things that this country has been through. Have God been with this country? Now, how about yourself? He's been with us through this country. Family members, when there was no help, no Social Security, no nothing, but God, you know what? Brought families through. Corn crib, potato bank, and have their own grits and syrup. God brought them through. God has brought you through. You know you ain't done it yourself. God's brought you through, has he not? Who raised those children? Who gave them life? Who gave them health? Who's been looking after whenever they was asleep? Look back and see what God done for you when you have the problems, and we're going to have problems. All the problems you've been through, well, I ain't been through no problems. Well, hold on. Hold on. He examined the problem. Look at the past. Look at this church. From a woodpile to where we at today. You think we done it? We weren't here. We weren't even here on that woodpile. Who was here on that woodpile when this Pleasant Hill was starting? Anybody raise your hand if you was here on that woodpile. You weren't here, was you? Who you think made this church? God did. God gave you a beautiful place to come and worship him. How come it's not full? Start off with a woodpile. How come it's not full today? As we look back at all the times that God has helped me and God has helped you. And he will help you in the past. And he will help you in the future. He'll help you, yeah, will help you in the future. All these old kings, Joshua moved them into that land. And everything again. What he done for others, he'll do for you. So he finds out, you see, he had this purpose. But the fourth thing, you see, he embraced the promise of God. You know, the promise of God to the nation of Israel, this land will be yours forever. You know why they still fighting over there? God gave that land to the nation of Israel many years ago, and it's still theirs. Did y'all know that? Just keep your eyes on the nation of Israel. 8, 9, and 10. And they dwelt therein and have built them a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil comes upon us as a sword, judgment, our pestilence, our famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence for thy name in his house and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who thou wouldest not let Israel invade. Remember coming before they did? When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Remember those kings I told you about? Remember those kings, but they come against them now? But embrace the promise of what they done. They built a sanctuary whenever they moved into that land of promise. They had the tabernacles, they moved through the wilderness. But when they got into that land, remember Solomon, King David gathered all the jewels and the gold and the money and lumber to build it with, but King Solomon, his son, built that great temple of the Lord, the greatest building that's ever been built on the face of this earth. He said, we built a sanctuary, embraced the promise that God gave them. He spoke what God done to the nation of Israel in that verse 8, built a sanctuary for his name. God gave them the land to the Jews, even to this day, to dwell therein. It's the Lord's land. God gave him this promise, gave it to the Jews. God gave you a promise that you're in Christ Jesus. God gave you a promise. If you would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's some promises that come with that. There's so many that you cannot even imagine how many promises. Oh, there's so many promises. Verse 11 of this chapter says, behold, I say, how they rewarded us to come to cast us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. They come to get us, and they come to take back the blessings that Jesus Christ has given you. These enemies is coming, and I'm going to tell you, trying their best to take back, and I'm going to tell you, he's taking back a lot of joy from people. Where is the joy and praise on Sunday that we should be praising God for what God's done for us? Everybody that's saved ought to be in God's house praising God. Amen. Good gracious alive, what God's done for us. No wonder the kings is after us. And they don't know what to do about it. There's so many of them. Remember, Lord gave you these promises, and today, Jesus gave them to you. Whosoever shall come to me, I will no wise cast out. In my hand, I hold you in my hand. There's no man can pluck you out of my hand. Jesus Christ said, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Jews had their blessing in a land. We got our blessing in the Lord. The very same thing that is given us. My. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's a promise that Jesus Christ said that the devil can't take that away from you. Sin can't take that away from you. I'll always be with you. All the kings cannot take that away from you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. They coming against him by the tens of thousands, but I won't worry about what they're going to do for me. Lord Jesus Christ gave you this victory in Jesus Christ. Yet we have enemies in this land that we're in. The battle that you're in and I am. You know what? The reason a lot of people don't come to church because they're losing the battle within. The devil will keep you from coming to church. Y'all know that? The falling nature will keep you from coming to church. I'm going to tell you, and sin will keep you from coming to church. It'll keep you away from God's people. It'll keep you away from the Word of God. Your fallen nature. We don't want to come. Why? Because we want to serve the other types of gods in this world. We don't want to come worship what God's done for us. But you just wait when the water gets hot enough and you'll say, oh Lord, I can assure you of that. Before you leave this world, you'll say, oh God. You'll say, oh God. Because everything else that you have, it will not take place of God. He exposed his powerless to deal with such a great enemy and great force that come upon him. You and I are set in the very same boat. Verse 12 and 13. As we see this. Our God. Will there not judge them that's coming against us? For we have no mind against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. We don't know what to do. Man, you feel so helpless. You just don't know what to do. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. You know what they done? They brought their family to church. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine such a thing today? Family that brought their kids on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. They brought their family to church. Well, that's not a very good thinking, preacher. That's what the Word of God said they done. Because the power of the enemy was so great, they didn't know what to do. You know, it's so sad whenever you see some of your loved ones. They ain't nothing in the world. You can see them suffering, and there's nothing that you can do. The enemy has come against you so hard, there's nothing that you can do except seek the Lord. Except seek the Lord. He's powerless to do anything about it. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on Jesus Christ. Our eyes are on Jesus Christ. 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. That's what God is trying to get us to do. People, their family, their little ones are in church. Problem with Christian family, the devil wants to try to take back from your family. And he's doing it. We come to church with our families. When you do, I'm going to tell you what, every time you come, it's a testimony to your family when you bring your kids and your family to church. And I tell you, every time you don't come, is a testify against. Not only that, but it is a testimony for the person that lives next door to you also. It's a testimony to the people that rides by this church and sees these cars. It is a testimony. Let your children know the importance of the house of God. The problem we have. The testimony. Powerless. Nothing we can do. Let that child get in the hospital. In sickness. And we look, where's God? The people begin to worship God. And we need to trust in the Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, what this country needs is a father just exactly with the leadership of Jehoshaphat fathered. And the sixth thing, he enlisted his protection. Verse 14, you know, it says, the Spirit of the Lord come against the congregation, or come into the congregation. The priest of the Spirit of the Lord of that congregation. The preacher stood up and started preaching. Verse 15 and on it says, and he said, hearken ye, all Jerusalem, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, nor the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow you go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zeb, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. It's out of your hand. God says, I'll take care of it. You just do what you're supposed to do. You know what God is doing in your life, in my life, when this happened? He's taking the word and making it real to us. There's going to come a time when these verses of Scripture are going to be more real to you than they've ever been before. You keep living, and he's going to make these Scripture well, well known to you. And then verse 18 said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He fell down and began to worship the king, the president, we should say, in the White House in D.C., fell on their face, worshiped the Lord. What in the world would happen if that would go on today? You know, there used to be a time, and even in our Baptist churches, if you was a leader of this church, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, you know what? You was in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, everything else. And you know, people expected you to be here because you was a leader. And then it went out to the rest of the world as leadership. What do we demand out of our leaders now of this church? What do we demand out of the people there today? We're going to get to the songers in just a minute, Brother Orville. Because I'm not going to quit until I get through this morning unless that kidney stone hits me again. I don't know which way y'all going to be praying. Where is it at today? How come we don't do what we used to do? You ask why? Why? What's happening to us? And verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets and his preachers, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they shall praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to pray, to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Whew. They begin to sing in the midst of their problems and praise God. You wonder why we have singing before we have preaching? This is praise time. Singing is praise time. They get us ready for the worship time. Have to twist some people's nose to get them to sing. You better be glad I can't sing. He says, we're going to sing and we're going to praise. And then, you know, it says he enlarged his preparation. Now he started to make preparation. We should really do this. He began to worship the Lord. It'd be a great day whenever we learn worship comes before work, and before war. Where's God's people at today? I'm going to tell you one thing. Most of them's not worshiping Jesus Christ. Whose fault is that? They begin to worship, and then revival began to happen again. As he enlarged his preparation, we make preparation to worship. How do we do that? Praising and singing, saying amen, getting happy in the Lord before we ever start the worship. You see, you don't come to worship, you bring your worship with you. Where's it at this morning? You know these ladies come to this church on their toes because they got high heels on? I tell you, us men, we ought to be on our toes too. He enlarged his preparation. Then you see, he started expressing his praise. There again in verse 20. They rose early in the morning and started praising and worshiping. Praise the beauty of the Lord and the holiness. And they started praising him. You know, we ought to start singing as we come through that door. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You see, when we come start singing and praising together, you know what? The enemy's got to go. Your problems, you can see the end of your problems. Because God's with them. They started to begin to sing and to praise. And the Lord set ambush against the enemy to destroy them. In verse 23 and 24, and the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants and the Mount of Seir, uttered to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of all the habitation of Seir, everyone held to destroy another. And when Judah came forward, the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth and unescaped. They began to kill each other. I mean, they're slaying each other. They had to go. When they began to praise, when they began to sing, when they began to praise, cause the enemy to turn against himself. You remember when Silas and Saul was in the jail, you know what he done? They began to sing and to praise God. What happened? The cell doors was open. Well, this old world we at today, the enemy that we got wants to shackle you and put you in jail again and take back what Christ has given you, and we can't even sing? You know why we don't want to sing? Because we don't want to take time. We want all our time for old self. This choir ought to be full, and that ain't all the church ought to be full. Amen? Thank you, Orville. Or fill up the choir, help me. And people ought to want to sing. I'm telling you, we ought to want to sing. Sing praises. Your Lord, the battle is yours, the victory, the praise. They began to gather up so much loot, it took them 3 days to gather all the loot. Those soldiers have gold on them and silver. They began to gather all of that up. They took them 3 days just to gather up all the gold and silver. I mean, all these praise. Listen. When your children come through sickness, you say, well, listen, my child's sick. I'm going through this bad problem. And listen, whenever they get well, I've heard this so many times. Boy, I tell you what, when I get better, I'm coming to church. But I tell you, when I get through with this job and everything's all right, my bill gets paid, I'm coming to church. My kid gets through this and everything, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to praise the Lord. You're not going to have any victory till you start praising and singing. Most of us in our problems say, well, I can't praise and I can't sing because I can't see the victory. God says, if you can't praise me, stay in your problems. If you can't praise me, stay in your problems and live with it. Praise become before victory does. Praise come before victory does, not afterwards. When we praise before the answer, saying, oh God, we don't know which way to go. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know how you're going to do it, but however you do it, it ain't none of our business. It ain't none of our business how you're going to do it, but Lord, we know what you're going to do it. Go, listen, you're bigger than my problem. You're bigger than my sickness. You're bigger than anything ever come against me. No matter what it is, you're bigger. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. I don't know what's going to happen to my problem. I don't know what's going to happen to my business. But I know, God, if I serve you, you're bigger than any problem that ever come against me. I'm going to tell you what the lack of praise, what the problem is, it's a lack of unbelief in God Almighty. It's a lack of unbelief, the reason people's not here praising God. They don't believe God will do what he said he'll do, what he will do. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praise and prayer are the two wings of our spiritual power. Praise and prayer. And I could spend several days on this, but he enjoyed these provisions. On 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and with precious jewels, which they stripped off of them more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering all the spoils. It was so much. My goodness alive, God has given us so much. They begin to praise and thank God he's given us so much. Isaiah says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall be raised against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the inheritance of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you got your spiritual fire hot this morning and look at what Jehoshaphat did, what you and I need to do, pray it don't rain on your wood. Because it ought to set you on fire. There ought to be a revival in every one of our hearts right now to knowing what God has done, what God will do and said he'll do and his promises. But you're going to have to praise the Lord and start singing praises before we ever start worshiping the Lord what he's done for us. But oh, we want to draw back. We want to draw back. We want to try to do it ourselves. Well, go ahead and try it. That's what we're doing. Don't seek the Lord first. You just seek your business first. You just think you're a great power first, what you can do. And they will come in one of these days when you will find out the enemy is too great for you. The sickness and the time that we're going to go through, the problem that we're going to have to face tomorrow, next week, and next month. Man, I'm going to tell you what, old Jehoshaphat, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was a great king. And I tell you what, you need to write these down. I'm going to tell you, you need to understand every one of them. You need to study them because it's going to happen just the way God said it's going to happen. And this is the way out of it, right here before your eyes. And this is nothing from the preacher, I can tell you that. If you don't like what I said, you take it up from God because I didn't say it. Everything comes from the Word of God. And I tell you, it'll make a better and a better person for you to serve Jesus Christ, knowing the things that we should do and ought to do. And I'll tell you what, we ought to be telling people every day. And you know what? When we do what God has showed us to do, when we do these things, you know what? People start seeing a different change in your life, and there'll be more visitors here at our church. There'll be more people down this aisle. But who in the world want to come with a look on most of our faces this morning? Where's the smile that should be here? Are you happy in the Lord? Say what? It ought to cause us to praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do it. They didn't do it. Tens of thousands come against them, and I tell you what, they're going to come against you also, and they're going to say, Lord, we don't know what to do. God said, start praising. Search me out. He searched the Lord out. Where is the God? He started going to church. He brought his family to church. All the people, all the little ones, their wives, the little ones, they started coming to church on Wednesday night just as much as they did Sunday morning. I mean, they sought the Lord. God, you know what? Gave them the battle. Because God says, it is yours. All you got to do is praise me, serve me. Goodness gracious, this is the word of God. And you know what? It's up to every one of us. You can do it or you cannot do it. They can nobody make you do it. God's not going to make you do it. There's no pressure on you to do anything. You know, this is a free will. You come to church on your free will, all except the little ones. Sometimes they don't want to come. Mom and dad might make them. But it's a free will. You come and you worship. Sunday night, same way. It's Wednesday night, same way. It's free will. It's all up to you. What you want to get out of it is what you put in it. Now, as we come now with a song of invitation.